This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored by Visit Bemidji. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors covers the lakes, woods, trails, wildlife, and anything else going on outdoors in Paul Bunyan's playground.
I'm Bruce Jean, and this is Paul Bunyan Country.
Checking in with Nate Blazing of Nisswa Guide Leagues, who he doesn't do any guiding in the winter, but he does love to ice fish. So how much you done, actually, Nate?
Well, I've done some, a fair amount, and I would say partially due to some of the weather conditions we've had this winter, and then actually part of it due to chasing my kids around for winter sports, but I've been getting out enough to scratch that itch, and I can't complain, and just kind of making adaptions to fit the weather here and do what we can do and stay safe. So it's been, overall, though, the fishing's been pretty good.
Yeah, I know once you can get out there, once the ice got thick enough, people were having success.
Yeah, it's been a pleasant surprise, I'd say, multi-species-wise. Overall, it's been good. It's just, again, the challenge we've had is, you know, are we early ice conditions locations or are we mid to late winter? So that's been the kind of tricky thing, is trying a little everything to figure out pattern these fish. And I don't know if they know what they're supposed to be doing right now themselves. So,
no kidding. What are you finding for thickness on the various lakes, any average wise?
Yeah, so it really does vary. I would say the minimum, as long as you're not in current areas or pitch points, basically 7 inches on the low end, and as much as, say, 12, 13. I was on gull a couple times this past weekend, which, again, that froze late, and it's just crazy. You've got some swaths of clear ice with no snow on it. I think the snow probably actually flooded and it froze, and you had 12, 13 inches of ice there. That top two, three layers was kind of a white, crusty, softer ice, mm-hmm. And then literally 2-3 feet away where you had maybe an inch of snow, you're down to 7-8 inches. So We found that consistently across Gull and several of the other lakes. So if you don't have any snow, for the most part, you're going to have a little thicker ice. The smaller lakes, anywhere 10 to 12 inches around here, those bigger lakes, that's where you just got to take caution. So for the most part, I would say in the Brainerd Lakes area, walking's pretty safe. And then four-wheelers, snowmobiles, if you got scratches on your sleds. Vehicle-wise, there's a couple lakes where some vehicles were out on. I don't think by this weekend that's a real good idea. So yeah. If you can downsize, that's where it should be at this point.
Well, if you got the big wheelhouses, this is not your winter.
No, I've got three of them parked in my yard that probably aren't going to see the ice this whole winter. It's a little disturbing. I look at that, and I actually just go sit in the yard in my fish house and call it a win at this point. So.
Well, the one thing that's nice is we can be very mobile at ice fishing these days. The portable houses are very lightweight. We've got the lighter augers that are battery powered. So, I mean, you can get out there and you can be fairly safe if you're smart and take all those steps you need to take.
Absolutely. And then the other, you know, trying to put the positives with this odd winter we're having is, like today, how nice it is. We've been going out, bringing our sled, you know, portable fish house. Don't even necessarily have to set it up. It is so nice out. You can just stand outside and fish. If the wind's up, you might want to flip it over. But, yeah, you can be real portable, and that's been part of finding fish, is just keep scooting along, especially for walleye. Sometimes you got to take a couple spots before you find them. So the mobility is key, and I think that is going to be part of the success for folks this weekend for the big ice fishing contest, is it's going to give them a little more options to try a lot more water, multiple lakes, and move around if they want.
Right. The Brainerd JC's Ice Fishing Extravaganza. You couldn't possibly put all those people in one spot on the on Gull Lake. That would not be smart, especially with all those holes drilled in such a close-knit way. So you're right. This is going to be a much safer, much better way to do the tournament, and it's going to be interesting to see what kind of fish, when you're looking at multiple lakes, actually win it this year.
Yeah, you know, again, trying to stay on that positivity train. The JCs, I feel for them, and we were talking before, some of the other businesses that depend on your normal winter months, bait shops, snowmobile rentals, fish house rentals, all that kind of stuff, it's tough, but the JCs are making the best of it with what they got here. And I do think I give them a lot of credit for being creative here. There's not a perfect solution, so they're doing what they can do. Opened it up to multiple lakes, basically within, 20, 30-mile radius of Brainerd. So with that, again, it's going to give people quite a few different options, you know, whether you want to go to one of your bigger lakes for walleyes or if you want to go to some of these smaller lakes. There's crazy good small lakes for panfish around here, northern pike. So I really do think overall you're going to see larger species. The number of species for each category is probably going to be larger. And I think they said the fish of the day is a sunfish. So there's lots of really good lakes around here with big panfish in. So I think you're going to see quite a few really nice fish brought in this year.
Well, if you were fishing the tournament, where would you be? What would you be fishing for?
Oh, boy. I don't even know. I'm not real good for sitting still. So I think what I'd probably do is find a body of water that gives me the options of all five species that are in the contest. Start off in the morning earlier for walleyes, give that a couple hours, and then once you get to that mid to late morning, then transition over to probably put a tip-up out for some pike, and then maybe do some jigging for panfish, some nice sunfish or crappies. Like I said, we've been stumbling into a little of everything. When you're out, if you get into the weeds, it's the panfish bite has been pretty darn good there, crappies and sunfish. You're getting bass and pike right with them. Been putting some tip-ups out with big sucker minnows, catching some really nice pike. Walleye sliding a little bit deeper in that 15 to 24 foot range, it seems like. And, you know, they're more of a morning evening bite. But with that being said, this weekend, middle of the day, up in, you know, 15 to 17 feet of water, sand, it was full of big walleyes. They weren't necessarily real hungry. We got a couple of them to go, but you could see the darn things there. So I think it's a game of patience. So if I was doing it, I would kind of jump around and give each species a little bit of time and see what happens.
Okay. What do you think the fish are biting on? What are you throwing at the fish these days?
Well, for the panfish, usually I've been starting with a tungsten jig and starting off with a plastic because you can just be a little quicker fishing with those. And again, same with all the species. You let the fish tell you what they want. Some days if they're real aggressive, they'll really go after those plastics. You might have to switch the type of plastic or the color you're using. If they won't do that and you know they're there, that's usually when I kind of downsize or slow it down and maybe go tip that tungsten jig with a wax worm or a spike, something like that. Crappies, I've been using a small little spoon with a minnow head and then dead sticking right next to it. And it's been kind of day-to-day for the most part for how aggressive they are, but usually once you figure that out, you're still able to get some fish. Walleyes, same kind of 1-2 punch as usual, jigging spoon, and then usually setting a tip up. I like to get a tip up a little further away from, you know, the commotion. Usually go with that a little bit shallower and a big minnow, hoping for a big fish. And we've had some pretty decent success, actually sucker minnows, rainbows, and shiners on the tip ups. And again, if those fish are real aggressive or even during the day, kind of counterintuitive, you might give like a jigging wrap or a ripping wrap a try looking for that reaction bite. So those have been pretty effective ways for the walleyes. Pike have been pretty much the same old, the tip up in a sucker minnow, just put it out and, you know, whether you want to have a beer or just, you know, take in some sun, just let that tip up do its thing, soak, and been pretty good action on the pike doing that.
Okay. Well, I've heard a few people have already caught an eel pout or two, but we'll get into the heart of that season very shortly. Do you go eel pouting?
Oh, well, I catch eel pout. I have not actually done it where we've targeted them. And I know that is kind of the hot thing the last, I'd say, 3 to 5 years. The Brainerd area is kind of right on, I'd say, the southern fringe of the eel pout territory. We have a couple lakes with really good populations. I catch them, I just haven't targeted them. A lot of times that late season walleye, when I get my bigger walleyes, you really get a lot of pike, especially fishing throughout the night. So I get my pout share doing that.
Well, I mean, it's the fishing sensation that's sweeping the nation, Nate.
Oh, I know it is. And great, more power to them. It takes some of the pressure off the walleyes. So I'd like to see it. And I mean, to the point where, you know, again, they're not classified, eel pout are not classified as a rough fish anymore. They're getting a limit, so much respect to the eel pout. I love it.
Stay around. We have a lot more to talk about with Nate Blazing.
Hi, this is Nate Blazing of the Nipsla Guide League, and I'm doing my best to keep Kev Jackson from embarrassing himself.
Hi, this is Dick Beardsley with Dick Beardsley Fishing Guide Service and Fish House Rentals. Are you looking to plan your next ice fishing adventure? Well, look no further, as Bemidji, Minnesota is the place to be. There are over 400 fishing lakes within a 25-mile radius of Bemidji. Come drop a line and become a fishing legend. While on your fishing adventure, explore the hundreds of well-groomed snowmobile trails that Bemidji has to offer. Don't forget to take a picture with the historic Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. Bemidji, bigger fish and better stories.
I'm Chuck Hassey, Leisure Outdoor Adventures, and you're listening to Paul Bunyan Country.
We're talking fishing with Nate Blazing of the Nisswa Guide League. Again, you don't do winter guiding, but I know you do saltwater guiding. I'm assuming you guys are getting ready and taking bookings right now.
We are. We just had a meeting and talked about all getting our stuff lined up. We've had calls starting to come in already, which, again, every time this year when those calls start coming in, it's like, seriously, you know, we're X amount of months away. Well, that stuff goes really fast. And again, the way this year is going, it seems like it's going to go even faster. I think we're in the heart of winter ice fishing, but at the same time, open water fishing, boats, all that stuff's on everyone's mind. So, you know, it's a fun time just thinking about fishing. But yeah, I'm already starting to dream of open water, and the trips are coming in and the clients are calling to see what's going on this year. So it'll be a fun, busy year again.
So what you've seen so far, ice fishing, maybe even looking back in the fall bite, what is your anticipation for soft water season 2024 in the Brainerd Lakes area?
Well, I'm anticipating a good open water season. Again, we've said this before, you like to have a normal spring, which I don't know if there is a normal spring anymore. It's, you know, so much of that is dependent on what happens there this year, the way we're trending. We could have really early ice out, and we've actually had conversations recently about, you know, how early is that going to speed stuff up for the fish spawning, because a lot of the bite for walleyes and stuff is dependent on their spawning time and all that. So there's lots of variables. I don't think we're completely done with winter yet. I'd be very surprised if we don't get hit sometime here coming up with some actual winter temperatures. But still, with the lack of ice compared to normal, I do think ice out's going to be earlier. Those fish will get their spawning done and probably hopefully have their feed bag on and be very cooperative, I'd say, by opener. I'm hoping, or I'm telling myself that at least right now. So,
yeah, I'm sure they will be. I'm sure they will. I don't think, you know, things could change on a dime. I know that. But it sure doesn't look like we're going to have to wait until the day before the opener for the ice to go out.
No, I actually had some clients that I've fished with for about 20 years are from Colorado, and they just reached out asking that very thing about, since the ice is probably going to go out earlier, you know, are they going to move opener up? And I'm like, no, that's not going to happen, but no. We should be able to get out and do panfish fish or doing that stuff earlier. And again, just letting those fish, once they're done with the spawn, resting up and then start feeding. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to lead to a good year. Last year, at least around here, we had an odd year for the shiner run, which affected our early walleye fishing. The shallow stuff didn't happen like it usually did, and we had to go more to, you know, lindy rigging or pitching jigs out in deeper water. So I absolutely look forward to that. Skinny water, pitching jigs to big walleyes and 2 to 6 feet of water. So I'm hoping there's a normal shiner on this year, and that'll lead to a good walleye bite.
All right. What are some of the new toys out there that you're looking forward to trying?
Oh, there's a bunch of new rods. I've played with some of those. So that's kind of always the fun time of this year. You're looking at, you know, getting all your new stuff, new rods, new tackle. Also eyeing up a couple of new electronics, just because that stuff, as we talked about before, just every day there's something bigger, better, newer, that kind of stuff. So I do think I'm going to upgrade and make a change and get actually a second forward-facing sonar, a different brand, just so I can compare and contrast those. So that's going to be interesting. Probably mid-year, I've already been looking boats and probably get another one of those. The only hesitation is right now I keep waiting for that market to kind of settle back in, because the boat costs right now are crazy. When boats cost what a house does, it's tough to justify, but it is what it is. You need a boat at this point. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, before we let you go, are you ready for a Fast Five?
We can do that. Let's see what we can do.
Okay, here we go. Nate Blazing, Fast Five.
Fast Five. Did I stutter?
Question number one. You have a backyard barbecue going. You've got a brat in your hand. What are you putting on that brat?
Ketchup and mustard.
Just that's it, huh?
That's it. I'm pretty plain Jane there. Okay. Yep. You get much other stuff on, and I leave it alone and walk away.
Well, yeah. Eventually, you don't even taste the brat anymore.
Yep. Nope. I'm not a veggie guy, so no relish, no sauerkraut, none of that kind of stuff. Just give me. I gotta have ketchup on pretty much everything I eat, though. Just as a disclaimer. So.
Okay. Question number two: do you go hunting?
I used to. I have not for quite a few years, and I'm going to blame that on my kids and time.
Was it deer hunting, or was it other types of hunting?
Deer hunt, pheasant hunt, grouse hunt. I absolutely love pheasant hunting, and we used to have a lab, and after the lab passed away and then got busier, I just haven't got back into that, but I'm hoping here in the very near future when life slows down just a tad to get back into it. The other thing is bird hunting season, especially, is our prime fall walleye stuff, so I'm so busy with the guiding that something had to give, so I had to back away from the hunting for a little bit, but I miss it a lot.
Okay. Question number three. And you got to crank up the rock and roll. Is it AC/DC or KISS?
AC/DC. Just listening today while we were playing with basketball, so I like both of them, but I got to give AC/DC the nod there.
100%. 100%. Yep. All right, question number four, Marvel or DC?
I don't even know. Marvel, I guess I'd say.
Okay.
But I don't even know necessarily what we're talking about when I say that. So clarify for me.
Okay, Marvel or DC? So is it Marvel superheroes universe or the DC superhero universe?
I think Marvel... more on my radar from back in the day with comic strips and stuff. So, yep, I got to go there.
All right. And finally, question number five, Nate Blazing, what, in your opinion, is the greatest sporting event of your life so far? Not necessarily that you were in, but unless you want to go there.
Oh, boy. I'm a sporting nut, so that's whether I'm attending sporting events. If not, I'm watching them on TV all the time. I went to my first Vikings game here a couple months ago in Denver. That was pretty cool. I would have to say this last, what was it, late fall, my daughter, as an eighth grader, made it to state for cross-country running, and I got to go down and attend that, and that was pretty special, watching my kid get to participate. It was always my goal growing up in high school to get to state in some fashion, whether it was basketball, football, what have you, and it didn't happen. So I get to live vicariously through her, and she made it to state. So as a proud dad, I'll say that.
That's a really, really good answer. Love that answer. All right, Nate, before we let you go, if people do want to book a trip with you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I'd say call the bait shop, talk to Sherry, 218-829-7010. She keeps our booking. Otherwise, you can look me up on Facebook, send me a message that way. The one last thing I would say is we've been doing quite a bit of planning for the Walleye Lion stuff, and we now have tickets available. April 25th, our speaker is Tom Wynn, who is very popular with forward-facing sonar, fishes the national tour. So if people are interested, they can find that on Facebook or on our website, www.walleyealliance.com, and take it a look. And if you are interested in that, buy some tickets. It should be a great time. April 25th again.
April 25th. All right. That is Nate Blazing of the Nisswa Guide Leads, talking ice fishing and a bunch more stuff too. Nate, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for taking the time today.
Thanks a lot, Kev, and good luck to all those folks out there this weekend. Have a good time, catch a bunch of fish, make a lot of memories. So thank you.
Ball born, yeah, country.